And good morning, all of Arizona. Let us fill up your coffee. Get ready for hour number two of the Rosie on the House weekly radio broadcast. We added a fourth hour, which was 7 o'clock. They just wrapped up with that earlier this year. It was actually on February. I remember that because it's actually my daughter Landry Kay's birthday, and I missed her birthday for our first four-hour broadcast. Well, we got there later, but if you don't have an affiliate that carries it, you missed a wonderful program on geocaching. You can go to rosieonthehouse.com and get the archive if you've ever wanted to get involved or know what geocaching was about. Or if you are a geocacher and you haven't found Indianapolis Jones, I'm just teasing
Indiana
Rosie.
Jones.
I'm just teasing Rosie. If you haven't heard about the Indiana Jones geocache in Prescott Valley, you can go online and listen and figure out about it. Sounds like quite an adventure. But it is the 8 o'clock hour, so we are talking trees. We've got Mike behind the board, Jennifer's call screening at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Rosie's here, Romy's here, and John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service is here talking trees. We always start off with a tree of the month.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, before we get into our tree of the month, I want to make a small correction to Rosie's introduction in the last hour saying that we'd be talking about planting trees and pruning trees, and you said topping trees. Did I hear you say topping trees? I know Rosie.
I know you love topping trees. I know you love that.
And well, he loves lion tailing.
Yeah, I was going to say lion tailing.
Yeah, I just want to be very clear that this Rosie knows very well that we do not top trees. There is proper crown reduction, which is there is a distinction. It's not a euphemism for topping. It actually is a proper way to reduce the height or spread of a tree. By cutting back to either a point of attachment or to a lateral branch that's at least a third the diameter of the branch you're reducing the size of. And that way the tree pushes its nutrients in and supports that lateral branch rather than cutting a tree at an arbitrary location, which is topping. You know, if you just cut a tree off without reference to the lateral or the side branches, the tree will push out a big profuse growth of ugly, disorganized growth. We call it a witch's broom. And you have this very difficult bunch of branches to maintain in the future. And it's really hard on the tree's health to cut them back so radically like that. So.
Well, now when your guys are up there in the very upper reaches of some of these bigger trees, now y'all can plant geocaches up there.
I wonder about that. That would be a geocache just for arborists.
Yes, that's right.
Or those who would be willing to try.
I took the geocaching quiz that you have to pass before you can...
Plant a
geocache. You're not allowed to use anything to attach it to a tree mechanically.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to retrieve it from a tree, they don't want people climbing up it. So you would have to have like a geocache arborist.
Yeah,
you'd have to start your own arborist geocache
version. That's right. And it would have to be, of course, climbing with all safety protocols and according to the ANSI NOSHA standards, which we observe as good arborists do. And then it would be safe, and it would be fun. We should do it.
That sounds like a lot of work. Why don't we just plant it where you're plant the geocache where someone can reach it?
There you go. Well, concerning our tree of the month, you know, this is a time of year where we focus on pruning and planting deciduous trees. And I just want to talk about deciduous trees as a rule, but specifically deciduous fruit trees. Right now... there's a big push for purchasing and planting stone fruits. And a lot of people don't realize here in Arizona that we can grow a whole bunch of really good fruit trees. Apples, peaches, nectarines, pears, apricots, plums, pomegranates, and other types of deciduous fruit trees. This is the time of year where you'll see them sold all around town. It's a time to buy them. Bare root usually is the way they come, or you can buy them in containers as well. But this is a great time to be planting them, putting them in the ground. It's not the time to be planting too many evergreen trees because soil temperatures are dropping, and those evergreen trees need to have warmer soil to be able to do as well when you put them in the ground. Otherwise, you're basically putting a tree in the ground and it's just going to sit there for a while until spring and when the temperatures warm up. Not so with deciduous trees. They like to be planted in the winter It's a really good time to get them established, and then in the spring they'll push out their new growth because they don't have their leaves in the winter. Real easy to plant bare root, and we did this several years ago at our house. My wife and I, inspired by Greg Peterson, who you've had on the show here many times with Urban Farm, he encouraged us to buy and plant a bunch of trees, and we planted like 19 of them, and we are so happy now. This has been about 8 years ago. And we just have apples and peaches and nectarines and apricots. We have a beautiful apricot tree. We actually had this really nice pear tree, and it grew beautifully. It grew to be about 15, 20 feet tall, and it never bore fruit for like 5 or 6 years. And I realized I was pruning it at just the wrong time because all these different fruit trees require a little bit different. They bear fruit on specific types of wood. And if you're pruning a little too aggressively, you're pruning out the actual fruit-bearing wood. Well, 1 year I just let the tree grow a little heavier. I was trying to keep it at a manageable height so I could—
So you didn't have to get a ladder
So I could harvest the fruit more easily. But I was cutting off all the fruit-bearing wood. But anyway, that tree produced 50 beautiful, huge pears and has for the last couple of years, and we're just delighted that we have a tree now that we can get those nice, crisp, sweet pears. I would have never thought, 10 years ago that we could have these unusual fruits in our yard. So I'd encourage people to get out, visit your local nurseries, visit Harper's Nursery and others, and find a nice deciduous fruit tree. Get it in the ground now. Within a couple years, they'll be bearing fruit.
We've done the same thing at our home, and our neighbor actually has an Anna tree that's about 12 years old. Ours are only 3 years old. And he, you have to thin certain, especially mm-hmm. stone fruits, to make sure that you get a size you want to eat.
Sure. Yeah.
He does his thinning by hacking half a tree. Now, yeah. His is a huge tree, so he can do that. Ours is pretty hard because we just started getting fruit and we were just getting things. But you know how we finally got our thinning practices down? Is we would let the kids each take 2 apples off the tree a day at feeding time, and we would feed them to the horses.
There you go.
And that was a big hit. And it really, all of a sudden, our apple sizes went from about cherry sizes to maybe tangerine sizes. Like I said, these trees aren't even as tall as me yet. We got them at 5 gallons, and they're just now 2 years old. So it's—
And the same is true with peach trees. You have to thin them out. And there's a process, during the fruit set. When they're very, very small, you can go in and thin out about a third. And as they get a little bit larger, and as the branches start to sag under the weight of the ripening fruit, you need to go back in usually a second time, mid-season, thin them out again about a third. It's terrible. You're seeing all this fruit, being ripped off and just going to waste. But it really isn't. What it's doing is preserving the structure of the tree. Many people, listeners now, know the experience of having a peach tree that's let fully mature with all of its fruit on. Yet, almost every branch in the tree will break under the weight of the fruit. They're just designed to be really, really heavy fruit-bearing trees. But if you'll do them properly, those branches will sustain the weight. In fact, on my peach tree, we actually have to put props under the branches, even in spite of the thinning process, just to make sure that we don't get some breakage. But yeah. If you get down to that nice critical number of fruits on the tree, instead of 600 or 700 pieces of fruit, we might have 300, but they're going to be nice, full-size fruits and beautiful.
And how is a peach for composting? Does that pit in the middle decompose very well, or is it kind of a pain?
No, it generally will provide a little bit of texture for your compost, but those are really tough. Ours have been sitting on the ground. We just let some of the litter lie where we have those trees, and they've been there for years. The fruit dies, of course, and decomposes, but then the seeds left behind on the ground. We have just a carpet of pits from prior years on the ground. I don't know how long it's going to take for those to break down, but many, many years.
Deciduous fruit trees, you can get them now just about anywhere.
Yes, sir.
What about higher country? Getting into Prescott, getting into snow country, you can get some really... The red apples.
Sure.
You can get the hard chill hour
Yeah, you can
stone
get
fruits.
Right. In fact, you need to purchase fruit trees that have low chill hour requirements for the low desert. And most local nurseries here understand that, and they're not going to sell you something, but something in the 150 hour maximum chill hour range is good for this area of the state. But up north, of course, yeah, you can get into the three, four hundred and higher chill hour requirements, and it opens up, you know, a lot of possibilities for other types of fruit trees that we can't grow down here. We only have a couple apples, for instance, that grow well here, and the Dorset. But up north, of course, you got, you know, a lot of other apple possibilities.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, as we bring Peter into the conversation, who wants to talk about tree transplanting. Go ahead with your question, Peter.
Good morning. Morning. How are you guys doing?
Real good. Thank you.
Well, I guess I picked the right weekend to call. I have a fig tree. It's been in the ground probably about 3 years now and pretty well established. Got a couple good harvests this summer, and I want to move it. And I'm wondering what some of the pitfalls are regarding doing something like that.
Well, how big is the tree? How tall and how large?
It's probably about 8 foot, and girth's probably about the same.
And how large a diameter is the trunk at three or four feet off the ground? About 3 inches. That's a great transplantable size. It's still going to take, removing some soil with the root ball to successfully transplant that. If it's fully, in dormancy, where it's, you know, we're into December or January when you do the transplanting, probably you'll have the greatest success. It won't be so critical that you move a lot of soil with the root ball. But I would get down and dig around that. You might even sever a root or two now, let the tree kind of get ready to be moved. And then, find a nice place for it. And you're just moving it to another spot in the yard?
He is. And how far away from the trunk are we severing the root? 6 inches, 8 inches, 12 inches?
You know, I would go out probably, 12, 18 inches on a smaller tree like that.